Turning our attention to the and back to the issue, and we will have more on that in hour two, more reaction to it, so stay tuned for that on Kerry Today. Turning our attention now to the energy crisis that we're going through at the moment. We've been talking a bit already this morning about what the Irish government are going to do, what they're going to plan to do. They're going to tell us, and there's been an interesting reaction. We talked about this a couple of months ago when they initially launched the Reduce Your Use campaign about putting your dishwasher and your washing machine on in the middle of the night. I think that's going to be the tone of what you're being told to do, keep it away from 5 to 7. But on the wider sense of it, how are we going to tackle the overall price problem and sustained problem of sky high prices for the electricity that you do use? Well, European Union energy ministers are due to meet on Friday to discuss setting up caps on Russian natural gas prices. Spanish energy minister Teresa Rivera said on Tuesday, adding she told utilities to be prepared for more restrictions from Russia. There'll be talks as well about caps on the price paid by EU countries for gas, perhaps maybe windfall taxes, and a restructuring of the energy market that we do have with regards to, you know, where we get our fuel from, where we get our energy from, and how much ordinary consumers end up paying for it. Is there more we can do on other fronts as well? With me on the line to talk about this, we've got Ireland South MEP for Fine Gael, Sean Kelly. Sean, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gerry, all the way from Brussels.
Lots of pressure on. What's the mood like in Brussels ahead of Friday? Is there a feeling that something radical will have to be done to try and help out EU citizens struggling with sky-high bills?
Well, certainly there is a bit of worry, definitely, about the way the inflation is causing prices to rise, mainly because of the energy situation, which is exacerbated by the fact that Russia are now turning off the gas into Europe. But having said that, this is not a total surprise, because it was mentioned several times before the summer. And in fairness to Ursula von der Leyen and the Commission, they have been urging member states to build their reserves. And many of them have built reserves of up to 80% already for the coming winter. And of course, there's also a target of reducing consumption by 15%. So they would hope that while things will not be pretty, that they won't be that bad. But of course, there's no guarantee that the supply that's required will be there, and that will apply to Ireland as much as any other country, even though there is, I think, a sense of kind of denial in Ireland that anything of that nature might happen in some quarters anyway.
Okay. And will we get swift movement on this, do you think, Sean?
I think we will. I expect there will be proposals which will be floated next week on Friday. And then when the President, Ursula von der Leyen, gives her State of the Union address on the 14th, I think there will be definite agreements by then from the member states, because they have to agree on certain things, like you mentioned, maybe windfall tax and cap and prices, etc.
Will it be a real windfall tax, or will it be token, is a big question. How much will be taken off the energy companies, and how much will that help?
I think there's a sense of determination here in the European Union, more than I find in Ireland, in relation to making it effective, because it is just not acceptable that at a time of an energy crisis, when everybody is suffering, that those who are providing the energy make bonus taxes, additional taxes. And I think for that reason, I think there will be determination that that cannot be allowed to continue, and that there would be some definite measures that would mean that whatever bonuses they have made in terms of profits, that they would have to pay back.
We have our own international, our own, I should say, local issues here, local problems. Ireland is one of the heaviest users of fossil fuels for our energy in the EU. We have very little storage, if no storage, for gas. So we're in a worse position than many. But on the wider front, the reason why the prices are going so high at the moment is that gas is being used effectively as a weapon of war, that the Russians and Vladimir Putin is deciding, I'm going to put the squeeze on this winter to cause as much disruption as possible. Is that the case, to your mind?
That's absolutely it, because he is smarting at the sanctions that have been imposed by the European Union on Russia as a result of the war. He never expected any unity at European level. He didn't expect there would be acceptance of the sanctions. He didn't expect there would be such determination to wean themselves off Russian fossil fuels. And now he is trying to use the situation and taking a gamble that if he cuts off the supply rather than Europe to wean itself off supplies from Russia, that it will lead to public unrest across Europe and that unity will disappear. That's really his aim for this winter and probably next winter as well, because this could be a long game situation.
Okay, and with that in mind, there were 70,000 people took to the streets of Prague last weekend. Is he succeeding in some countries?
Obviously, there are sympathisers for Russia everywhere. And we have them in Ireland as well, as you know. So any opportunity they would get to create public unrest, they would take that. But also, people genuinely aren't going to suffer and find themselves in a position where they find it difficult to survive. If they feel, especially their governments, aren't doing enough to take practical steps to help them. And that applies to Ireland as well as every other country. While people, by and large, are sympathetic to the cause and particularly sympathetic to the Ukrainian case, they expect also the governments would take practical measures to help them so that they can get over the winter and next winter and that they don't suffer unduly and go into negative equity or poverty and find it very hard to keep the lights on and keep their houses heated. So the governments will have a big responsibility there, and that's why I think the State of the Union address by Ursula von der Leyen is going to be so important on the 14th of next month.
Okay, we'll have to wait and see what happens there. Speaking of practical steps that governments can take or the EU can take, you've been a long time advocate that we should stick with summertime. October 30th, the climb will go back by 1 hour. It's being talked about now. If we don't do that, we could save as much as €465 off everyone's energy bill. Darker in the mornings, but an extra hour of light in the evenings, it would lead to a big impact on our energy consumption.
Yes, and I've been advocating this, as you know now, for a good number of years. And it almost came to pass a couple of years ago when the Commission and most of the Member States agreed that it should end, because it doesn't make sense to me or to many people anymore. But definitely this winter, it would be very prudent not to put back the clocks. And I've actually written a week ago to Ursula von der Leyen to put that very thought in front of the Member States, because you're right, a Professor Aoife Foley from Belfast did research, and as you said, she said it would save an average of €460 on a household bill, and that would be massive in terms of cutting back the energy use, and also of course you'd have longer evenings and you wouldn't be using as much electricity at peak times, which would make it easier to manage the grid, etc. So everything that helps to reduce the use of energy, we must look at it and take the steps necessary. One of the arguments which Ireland, who opposed my proposal, I'm sad to say, used was when they did a public consultation, they asked people, and I thought it was a bit unfair in a way, they asked people, are you in favour of two timelines on the island of Ireland? Almost saying to people, no. So nobody be in favour of that. But what Professor Foley said, and I agree with her, is that we should consult the United Kingdom government and to get agreement across Europe because of the energy crisis, that we would all move together and for this year not to put back the clocks.
Okay, and do you think we'll get that agreement finally? Is this a runner? Will this happen this October? Are things that serious now?
It would have to be unanimous. It's probably difficult, but at the same time it is a practical solution, so you never know. We are in a difficult position. We're in a crisis situation, and if we can be practical and sensible, I don't see why it couldn't happen, but obviously getting political agreement between 27 member states and a non-member state perhaps as well.
Yeah.
At this time, it's probably unlikely, but at the same time, we must try it, because if there are practical solutions, we have to be pushing them.
Yeah. And Sean, finally on that point, Liz Truss became Prime Minister of the United Kingdom yesterday. She's appointed the most anti-European Union cabinet that's ever been assembled. And even for us here, Chris Heaton-Harris, Not many people know that much about him. A senior player in the ERG, this small group of Conservatives who pushed all the time for the breakaway from the European Union. She's put an arch-Brexiteer in charge of the Northern Ireland Protocol. How concerned would you be about that situation?
I'm quite concerned, actually. I was kind of half hoping that when Liz Truss took over, that she wouldn't become a kind of a Boris Johnson light, doing the exact same as he did. But so far, from her statements, she doesn't seem to have a different policy. Also, when she was appointed as the Foreign Secretary, she came over to Brussels and met Maliszewski in February, and he didn't hear any more from her. And then they tabled the Northern Ireland Protocol Bill, which was in breach of international law. I just hope that maybe practicality might dawn on them, because having basically a trade war with the European Union doesn't help anybody, especially Ireland. But when you look at the bigger picture with the situation in Russia and Ukraine, we should be uniting our forces, not dividing ourselves, especially for a member state. A member state of the European Union for over 40 years, but I'm not 100% optimistic, but you never know. When we get around the table, we might be able to talk since, but it's not looking very promising.
Not looking good. Do you think you'll get a coherent view from them, the way things are set up in terms of who she has in her cabinet, with Jacob Rees-Mogg being in charge of the environment and business? It sounds like they're spoiling for a fight with everybody, whether it's unions, the civil service in England, the NHS, and the European Union on Ireland and Northern Ireland.
Yes, hopefully not, but there are certain indications that might be the case. That might be good for themselves within their own area, and particularly for the Brexiteers. But a bit like Greece a few years ago, the very left-wing leader took over Cyprus and he was taking on everybody. But eventually he crumbled because people are not going to lie down in front of anything of that nature. There are procedures to deal with all sorts of problems and issues and conflicts, and they have to be done, especially in democratically elected countries, by sitting down around the table and negotiating. The means are there to deal with issues, to solve problems, and that is the way to do it. There is no other way. Dictation will not get you far in due course.
All right, Sean, we'll leave it there. We'll see what happens with summertime and other issues. But thanks for talking to us in the programme this morning.